I need to address this morning the news of the last few days. So I just want to say this at the outset, for the sake of younger ears, I'm just going to say this phrase once, that Bishop Kemi published the names of priests of the Diocese of Wichita last Thursday evening and Friday morning, a list of names with substantiated allegations of sexual abuse of a minor. Okay, so that's 18 years and younger, of the whole history of the Diocese of Wichita. Okay, so through this homily, for the sake of younger ears and their innocence, you know what I'm talking about here. To see the list that Bishop Kemi put together, and also his statement, you can find it. I know that it's been on the news at least Friday night, but I would direct you to the Wichita, the diocesan website, CatholicDiocesofWichita.org. There you can, there's the list, and also Bishop Kemi's statement. He's got a written statement and also a video statement, both of which I would direct you to and encourage you to look at. That statement is also published in the Catholic Advance that was from last Friday. So, the second thing that I want to direct your attention to is there is a Q&A. It's 4 pages, and it's published by the diocese. And I left this at the entrances of the church, okay? So if on your way out, if you want to pick one of these up, you are more than welcome to. It's helpful in that it defines some of the terms, like what does substantiated mean? Why was it necessary to publish these? What can we do to move forward? What if we have an allegation to bring? It's a very good FAQ. So I would encourage you to pick one of these up. They're at the entrances. You won't be handed one, but if you want to pick one up, you are free to do so. So Bishop Kemi asked all of us priests to speak about this today. And so just a few points, first of all. The first thing is that what was conducted was a comprehensive and independent audit of all clergy files. Okay, so if you listen to the interview by the legal firm on Friday night's news, I think it might have been Channel 3 is who interviewed him. He mentioned, and it's true, he mentioned that there's 3 levels of files. There are like personnel files. That's where where, for instance, my seminary grades are. Okay, there's just personnel files, and also if anyone would write a letter to the bishop or whatever, it would end up there. Okay, and then there's a confidential file. It's just not for everyone's eyes. It's probably more serious matters, like if a priest would, go off for, who knows, treatment for, anger or something like that, so there's comprehensive files, confidential files. Then there's secret files. The secret files are just like if there was ever a letter sent from Rome that has your name, your name's in the hat to be named a bishop. Like, that's the file. Hopefully it's empty, in most of our cases. But that's the secret file. So that's really, there's nothing hardly there. So those are the three levels of files. And all 3 of those levels were audited. Okay, for every priest of the history of the diocese, there was a number, about 1,300 files total were investigated. So this was done in a response to, if you remember last summer, the Pennsylvania grand jury did a similar investigation, as well as the KBI is currently doing an investigation, so the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. So what Bishop and the diocese have produced is they have identified, they've published this list, okay? So I just wanted you to, in case you haven't heard about it. I wanted you to hear it from me. There are 9 priests from the Diocese of Wichita in our history that were identified. There's also an additional 6, and they were named because they served here for a period of time, and they were also named on other lists elsewhere. So they were priests that either belonged to another diocese or were in our diocese and then moved out of the diocese, or they're like religious priests. So they were here for a time, but they're not priests of the Diocese of Wichita. So there's 9 of the Diocese of Wichita and then 6 additional. None of them are in active ministry. Most are dead. Of the 9 of the Diocese of Wichita, there are 3 still living. They're in their 80s and 90s, and they're out of state. But what I wanted you to hear from me is that there are 2 named on the list with connections to Christ the King. Okay, so Robert Larson, he was here in 1958 to 1961. He was convicted. He's dead. Died in 2014. And the second name is Alonzo Smith Heisler. He was here 1987 to 1989. He's still living. I don't know where. It's out of state. And his ministry was ended in 1991. So he's no longer an active priest. What I also wanted you to know is that I don't know if these allegations came while they were here. I don't know from whom they came, and I don't know when they came. Okay, so I don't know if these things happened when they were here. But I want you to know that if you do have an allegation that you would be willing to bring forward, please, I want you to know that I'm here to help you. Even if it's from the distant past, even if the person's dead, God can still bring healing to you. And God still desires to bring healing to that wound. Only Jesus can bring healing there. So the diocese is ready and willing to receive that additional information. And I'm here to help anyone who is willing. The second thing is that no priest is currently serving with credible allegations. Okay, so no priest active in the Diocese of Wichita has any credible allegations against them. The third is that the list will be maintained and updated as needed. Next, since 2002, the diocese has fully participated in the U.S. Bishop's Safe Environment Policy. And it will continue to do so to provide the safest environment for all people, especially for children, for young persons, and for vulnerable adults. There are regular audits of our safe environment program and policies are conducted. Regular audits are conducted to ensure compliance. Also, I want you to know is that all bishops and priests, all church personnel, seminarians, and also those who volunteer their services and their ministries with young people, they undergo a background check and safe environment training. Lastly, all allegations are subject to a thorough process that involves law enforcement, a victim's assistant coordinator, and a diocesan charter review board. So details of this are actually on the diocesan website, under the Safe Environment tab. If you want directed to that, just let me know, and I'd be very happy to do so. So now on a little personal note, I know that this audit and the publishing of these names, it's ugly, it's difficult. However, I think that it's necessary for us to own our past. Why? So that we can receive healing, and also so that we can move forward. I I want you to know, just on a personal note, that on behalf of these priests and bishops, that I am sorry. You know, in the gospel today, when our Lord speaks about trustworthiness, you know, these bishops and these priests, they were not trustworthy. These ones that committed these acts or permitted it or looked the other way or mishandled it, they were not trustworthy. They were wicked men. But even if we go back to the Gospels, I mean, even Judas abandoned the Lord. But I think also that we must, as a church, as a family, I think that we must do a better job at remembering to pray for the victims and the survivors. Because I think that maybe it is this kind of abuse, but there's other forms as well. I think that sometimes, you know, the people that we encounter each day that are unbeknownst to us, they too need healing if they are victims or if they are survivors. And so I think it's very important to not forget to pray for them. Not to forget to pray for them because there is a healing that our Lord wants to give to them and desires to give to them that only He can give. And so to ask the Lord that they may be open to receive that grace that our Lord wants to bestow upon them. But I'll be very honest with you. I think that, you know, when I was... I'm going to be very real with you, okay? The thing that allows me to get through the day, okay? And this, I think, is so important for us to keep at the very forefront of our minds, is that the Lord is in all this, as painful as it is, as ugly as it is, that the Lord is purifying His bride, the church. The Lord is bringing about a wonderful purification so that the church can once again be His spotless bride. That's the words that St. Paul uses, the bride of Christ. Here's where I'm going to be very real. So, you know, I spent, 2 years in Rome, right? And in Rome, I'll say this. I am more convinced, because when you go to Rome, you kind of see, yes, it's a beautiful city, but you also see the very human side of the church, right? The church, yes, is this beautiful bride founded by Christ, but it also has sinful human members, right? Sinful human members that we all make up. But when you go to Rome, you do, yes, beautiful city, okay, great. But as a priest, you also see kind of the underbelly of the church, the very human element. And this is what I'll say, is that I am absolutely convinced that the Catholic Church is the only church that Jesus Christ founded. Why? Is because she sure as heck wouldn't have been able to survive all these years with all these sinful members, right? The church is the bride of Christ. It is divine. It is our home, because she wouldn't have been able to survive had it been man-made. So there's this little, when Napoleon, just a little bit of our history, when Napoleon invaded Rome and he confronts the Pope and he tells the Pope, I'm here and I'm going to destroy the church. The Pope said, go right ahead. He said, you can try. He said, because bishops and priests have been trying to do it from day one. Okay? Absolutely true, right? So the Lord is purifying his bride. He's purifying his bride. And this is all for our own purification. There are so many riches. There are so many riches. Why we come, why we are Catholic, why we belong to this family. It is to receive the Lord in the Eucharist. It is to have the sacraments. It is to have the Word of God. The church is this spotless bride. Yet, in her human elements, she really needs purified. And that's what our Lord is doing, okay? So there is hope. So let us, there's one last thing I want to say, is that there's this, who knows, raise your hand if you are familiar with Bishop Robert Barron. Bishop Barron, okay. He's a Chicago priest. He's a bishop in, an auxiliary bishop in Los Angeles. He wrote this little book, it's excellent, called Letter to a Suffering Church, okay? And I'm going to order a copy of this for every family in our parish. That it'll probably be here in a few weeks. And we'll also do, if you're interested, we'll also do like small group discussions of it, okay? It's an excellent little book, and I think it's also very healthy just to get to talk about these things, but also to talk about them with our parish family, okay? Today's our parish picnic, right? So I actually thought about, you know, Bishop gave us the opportunity to speak about it this weekend or next weekend. And I was actually tempted to, I was like, well, I'll just push it off a weekend because we have our parish picnic and that'd really be a downer. But I got to thinking, you know, we need each other now more than ever. We need the support of our parish family, the support of one another, of fellow believers, now more than ever, because we're not in this alone. I know that I'm not in it alone. You're not in it alone. We're in this together, and together we need each other's love and support, right? So today, I think, is actually the best opportunity. It's very providential that today is our parish picnic, so that we can be together, so that we can experience each other's love and support, because we are in this together as a family, okay? So let us not forget, let us pray. Let us pray for the survivors. Let us pray. Let us not forget them. But let us keep at the forefront of our minds that the Lord is purifying his bride, the church, and it is still good to be here. Amen.